Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Oh, I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin, won the victory.
There's a theme this morning in worship, and it's all about victory. How many believe that you are victorious today? And I believe it's all right for us to celebrate that, to lift up their hands and declare that God is on the throne, that we've already won. Everything we struggle has already been defeated. Hallelujah! Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah. Come on, don't miss a moment where God wants to speak, where we can honor the God who's done so much in our life, who's given us victory and freedom, made us strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So let's take a minute and let's praise Him. Just begin to thank Him in your own words. Begin to say, God, You've got me through something this week. You've got me through something. You're getting me through stuff today. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we praise a mighty God. A mighty God. A mighty, mighty God. Jesus. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. Oh. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my, oh, it is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Yeah. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, shout it out. Hey. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. Oh. It may look like I'm surrounded.
If we pray for a minute this morning, would you join me? The Bible says that all men everywhere would lift up hands and in prayer. Ladies, you can join us, but why don't we as biblical men lift our hands as the Bible says, and let's lift our hands and declare victory for our homes. Father, we come to You today with uplifted hands. God, in one sense saying to You, we're not enough, we need heavenly help. And in another sense, lifting our hands in victory. We thank You today that nothing that faces us is bigger than You. Many things are bigger than us, but no thing is bigger than You. We give You our homes. We give You our bodies. We give You our church. We give You our businesses. We give You our relationships. We give You our past, and we're so glad to give You our future. And we thank You that Jesus Christ, You today over the men and the women of this church, our Lord of all. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thank God for His power and victory today in our lives. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In a good manly way, turn around and karate chop somebody, then you can be seated if you would, please. A good karate chop won't hurt anybody. Good practice for one, and to let your neighbor know what your potential is. I don't know what I can do if you just got to turn me off up here or whatever, or I'll just use a different mic. But welcome to everybody. Thank you for joining us on Father's Day. This is just a fantastic day for us to be together. And it's different than most of our Father's Days or most of our Sundays, because after service, we've got a lot of great things planned for you. But first, let me just speak to those of you that are visiting us for the first time today. Thank you for being with us on Father's Day. Maybe you came with your dad. Maybe your dad that brought some visitors with you. But would you help me, church family, welcome all of our visitors today. Moms, dads, teenagers, everybody. You find in front of you in the rack, the seat rack, there's a connect card. If you would take that out and fill that out, when the offering bucket goes by, you can drop that in there. And that'll help us connect with you and help us to let you know what else is going on in the church. And if you've been coming here for a while, but you want to get more involved in the church, there's another card. It's the Next Steps card. That's a little black card there. If you'd fill that out, you see it on the screen, and put that in the offering bucket, somebody from the office will be calling you and contacting you and letting you know how you can get better involved. Amen? Somebody shout a good Happy Father's Day. I don't know what you say to the ladies. It was already awkward. How many of you, like, you want to say happy, like if a lady says happy Father's Day to you, what do you say in return? Like, thanks? Well, you feel like you should say something back, like, happy pre-summer? I don't know what to say, but welcome everybody. Look, after service today, we're gonna conclude the service a little early because I've got just a small bit of business that I need to take care of with the membership of the church. So members, I need you to stay with me just for 10 minutes. Everybody can stay, actually. It's nothing that everybody can't be a part of. And then after, we're leaving the parking lot and going left up to Faith Bible College International, where we're having a barbecue. We're having a wiffle ball tournament. There are bounce houses for the kids. We'd ask that you park on the Bible College side of the road. There's plenty of parking over there. And we've got a couple of UTVs. In Atkinson, they call them limos. But we've got a couple of UTVs that will be transporting people back and forth across. And so please park over there. Don't park on the field side. Park on the other side, and we'll take care of you. All of the proceeds that happen from the barbecue, from the desserts that the Sunday school department's put together, the Darling's ice cream truck is going to be there, the wiffle ball tournament, the business sponsors, and all of that is going to go towards the church that we're building in Haiti, a 500-seat church to build a new church in Jerusalem, Haiti, and it'll also be a feeding center. So we're excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be no service tonight because... What did I do? Did I just do something really good and I didn't know it? I'll do it again, but I can't think of it. All right. There'll be no service tonight because all of the guys playing wiffle ball will need prayer. So any of you that EMTs, just stay close. It would be a big help to us. Dennis Bean has brought his fire truck out. I don't know if you saw it when you came in, but Dennis just got off a 24-hour work shift, got home, and drove his fire truck here. And what year is that truck, Dennis? A 1936 fire truck. And so you ought to stop by there and get your picture taken with your family or just the truck by yourself. I don't care. But get some pictures taken out there. It's going to be great. Next Sunday, Johnny Rowlett's going to be with us. And it's going to be a fantastic. Johnny will sing. I'll preach in the morning, but then he'll sing and preach in the evening. And how many know every now and then you need to get some good country gospel music in the church just to keep us stable? He's excellent. He's so good. We love he and his wife. They're going to be a great blessing. It's going to be a fantastic day next Sunday, all right? Look, while the ushers are getting ready, let me just say this to you so that you can be prepared for next week. We need to get the children. If you don't know, in the Sunday school department, we have all the children in the basement of the church. And we've never been satisfied with that, but we never had any options. But we have one now. We want to build rooms for them up in the cafe. We're going to build brand new classrooms for all the Sunday school kids of the elementary age up there. That means we need to ignite students to have a place for worship. So we're going to do, and when I say it, I mean a significant upgrade on the fellowship hall. We're going to build a brand new platform, put in a brand new sound system, brand new video system, new chairs, new look. We're going to put in a meeting area, and we're going to be able to have greater services for the students out there, Bible studies, the meals, all of that is going to come together. And so I've had somebody in the church who is a businessman said, if you can raise $15,000, I'll give $15,000. Now, how many know that's a good deal? That's a good deal. I don't care where you're from. And the reason I say that is for you to be prayerfully ready next week. If you'd participate, we'd love for that at any level. Or if you know that, look, you're going to be working next week on your or you're away and you'd like to participate, go see Barbara after the service. Barbara, wave at us, if you would, please. Everybody see what you have to turn around. But anyways, you, by faith, you know she's waving. Stop by the office out there and you can make a commitment. We're asking that those come in by the first Sunday of August. It's, I guess we call it modern Maine. It's going to look really classy out there. People will want to do their weddings, small meetings out there. It's just going to be fantastic. All right. So that's what we're doing with that. God bless you as you give today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessing on the church. How we're able to do what we do is because we're obeying biblical principles of stewardship. And I pray, God, that you'll continue to do exactly what you've been doing. Multiply your work back into the lives of people that are sowing into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 While you're giving and the gentlemen are getting ready to sing, the beautiful flowers on the piano over here are in memory of Ray McPherson and the first man to rock a bow tie around here. Ray McPherson, we love him and all of the family. Thankful for their legacy. Let's worship with the men as they sing this morning.
For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight against your enemies to give you victory. Today we're going to talk about a few stories about that. I was just a shepherd boy, without a shield, without a sword, fed up with a giant's voice, screaming curses to the Lord. I walked down the hill alone, with a pocket full of river stones. But what the Philistine couldn't see is what I had was more than me. See, on my own I'm weak, but my God fights for me.
I was servant to the king, interpreting his crazy dreams. I won't worship mortal men, so they threw me in the lion's den. Vicious teeth were all I saw, till something came and shut their jaws. They didn't find a scratch on me. In fact, that night I fell asleep. When morning came, it shocked them all, 'cause my God fights for me.
Servants of the Most High God, beaten and severely flogged, locked into an inner prison room, packed down with all of our wounds. At midnight we praised the Lord, foundation shook and broke the doors. Everyone's chains fell right off, just like they were made of cloth. What should have been death became new life, 'cause my God fights for me.
He's my shield, he's my sword, the victory is the Lord's. He's my shield, he's my sword, the victory is the Lord.
So what's your story here today? What's the giant in your way? Are you trapped and can't get out, staring down a lion's mouth? Can you stand before the Lord, or do you need to hit the floor? It doesn't matter what you've done, the battle is already won. See, on my own I'm weak, but my God fights for me. with me and sing, my God fights for me.
So good. Come on, let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. There's getting to be a little more soul in this church all the time. I don't know. Man, I wish I had a robe. Man. How many of y'all believe there's a little James Brown down in all of us here today? Oh, praise God. Thank God. How many are ready for God to do some greater things? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If He's done so much for you already, I just feel the Holy Spirit here today. If He's done so much for you already, I think we ought to just take a moment. Heather can play. Let's just good and make it without question. I don't want your neighbor to wonder if you give God the credit today. I don't want your neighbor to, I don't want your kids to wonder, do my parents think they do this on their, I don't want grandkids to think, my grandparents did this on their, how many want everybody to know, it was not you, but it was always the Lord. I want everybody to know. Would you just with your voice right now, just begin to praise God real good, right out loud. Lord, I thank you. Come on, let's do it for about 60 seconds. Come on. The Heavenly Father deserves the praise today. We praise you. Come on, tell the Lord how good He's been. God, you have been so good. Come on, Heavenly Father, you have been so faithful. Come on, somebody, I feel gratitude in my heart. I feel such gratitude in this church. We have been so blessed. We have been so blessed. Come on, everybody, from the balcony to the floor, everybody online, come on, let it be known that we know who our God is and He's worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, take another 30 seconds. Give the Father what He deserves. Give the Father really what He wants. Honor, love, gratitude. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and honor and glory. God, you're so good to us. God, you're so our good.
Good, so
come on, sing it.
Good,
yeah, you are good.
Good, so good. You are good. Good, so so
come on, praise
good,
the Lord.
Good,
hallelujah.
Good,
you're so
good. You are good, good, so good. You are good, good, so good. You are good, good,
praise.
So
good. In this building today,
you are good.
You're good.
So
some of us know where we'd be without Him.
You are good.
And we have to say that the Lord has been good to us. Come on, anybody forgiven?
So
anybody been given
good.
Another chance? Sing it.
You're never gonna let.
You're
never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody here not ashamed to say, God's grace and mercy is the only reason I'm here today? Come on. There's some people around here maybe have forgotten. But how many are glad you didn't get what you deserved? I deserve punishment. How many are glad you didn't get what you deserve? I deserve nothing, but God gave us blessing. How many are glad you didn't get what you deserve? Amen. Oh, praise God. Thank God for His goodness today. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Ezekiel chapter 13. My gift to the men today is a short sermon. Don't get used to it, but that's my gift to you today. Or honestly, it is. And again, I'm asking everybody to just, even if you're not a member, please stay with us and we can get a little business done real quick. And we'll get up to the field and have a good time together, all right? Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1. If you would go there, you can see there's a link there to see the notes. Just helps you a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. Oh, well, more of us are there. Okay. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. How many know those that are speaking for God need somebody to say, this is really what God is saying? How many of you know not everybody that speaks is speaking for God? Verse 3. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. Verse 5. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. Jesus, please help me. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. He speaks to them. I want to thank Darren McGovern for this uniform. We'll keep it here for a few weeks. But he speaks here very... If you go back to verse 4, you see that Ezekiel, by the inspiration of God, is really digging at the so-called prophets and says, you're like a bunch of foxes. The original word is jackals. You're like a dog. Now, what he's referring to is after war, the dogs or the jackals or the foxes would run up and try to participate in the spoils of war. The jackals and the foxes didn't get involved when the war was going on. They conveniently showed up when all the battle was taken care of. In essence, the prophet is saying to the preachers, you're awful good talk, but your action is left to be seen. They, in essence, had the same spirit that Elvis had. A little less talk, a whole lot more action. And anybody, please hear this, and we all know people, anybody can jump in the victory parade, but not everybody wants to get involved in the war. Everybody wants to be a part of the fans in the stands, but not everybody can do anything when they're on the field. And basically what is coming out of Ezekiel is a correction to the fans that it's time for you to get off the bleachers and get on the field. And in verse 5 is a very famous scripture. He says, you've not gone into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. Now, I'm going to help somebody who plays Scrabble. I think that this is a game winner. Ready here for this word? Intercessor. I-N-T-E-R-C-E-S-S-O-R. Intercessor. An intercessor is a $50 word, and if you didn't grow up in church, you might not know what it means, and why would you? But an intercessor has taken on a new development over the years in the American church. When you ask the average church person, what is an intercessor? They're going to tell you that it's a lady. And they're going to tell you that it's somebody that prays and cries a lot. When a man is told, you ought to be an intercessor, the average man gets the same image that I've seen. Someone crawled up in a corner in a scarf, crying. And that's the end of it. But that is not what the Bible defines as an intercessor. That's totally contrary to what the Bible says. Because we can say that we're praying for people all day long, but how many know that sometimes there's a gap between prayer and action? Here's something that I'm going to say that's going to sound really contrary to you, but stop praying for God to save people. You don't have to ask God to do what he already said he wanted done. He already said, I'm not willing that any should perish. And I think a lot of us have been satisfied by praying that God would save the lost. No, don't pray for God to do something he already said he'd do. Pray that God will use you to do your part in the saving of the lost. If you have a child, a family member, a coworker, maybe somebody you know that you don't have contact with, pray, Lord, raise somebody up to do your will to witness Christ into that person's life. I think we have a need to remove ourselves from passive-aggressive Christianity, where we would rather say, I'm praying for you, than to help you. Come on, it's tight, but you know that it's right. I'm here to preach to men. Men are not coming to the church because they're getting, you know why they're coming here. Men want to be challenged. And men, I want to challenge you, because I think that we have felt intimidated by the prayer movement that is just emotions and is no action. No, what the Bible says is an intercessor is someone who gets into contact with God but gets involved with the problem. When there's a fire, the firemen hear the call at the station. And they leave the station and they run to the house or the business or wherever the fire is and they get involved in the fire. They don't sit in the firehouse and say, well, we're going to pray for you. The fireman has been getting prepared in private day and hour after day and after hour. But when the call comes, they know what to do because they've been getting ready to get involved in the fire. And man, I want to encourage you that there is a feminization of Christianity in America today. The University of Texas put out a report recently that said masculinity is a disease. The president of that university is a former Navy SEAL. Something's happening around here. And what it is ain't exactly clear. I had another word in mind, but I didn't say it. But it's kind of weird. And that's not the word I was thinking. I'm growing up. I'm going to tell you, listen, ladies, be ladies. I'm not telling you you've got to become men, but men, you don't have to become ladies. Jesus took leather, created a whip, and he went into the temple and he turned over tables and he cracked the whip. Yeah, because he was a sissy. He was a man. But he realized, now when I say to be a man, it doesn't mean to be a Neanderthal and, you know, you're just going to beat everybody. You're going to be a caveman and drag your hair by wife by the hair. Can you see me doing that? No, that's not manliness. That's not manliness. But intercession, come on, that's what Jesus did. Jesus sat in the fire station of heaven and he looked down and he saw the wildfires of sin destroying humanity, and they got the call, and Jesus prepared himself, left the fire station, went into the earth, died on the cross, rose from the grave, went back to the fire station and said, now I'm looking for some men that will do the same thing on the earth. That's what he's looking for. That's the ministry. The ministry is simply going from where you're at to get involved with what's going on and then go back to where you're at. But the jackals will complain about the problem and never get involved. Jackals will post on Facebook about the problem and never get involved. Jackals will whine and complain, but they won't vote. Jackals, I think the world is turned off with jackal churches. I'm way off my notes. But how many say, I don't want to be a dog? Come on, I don't want to be a dog. I want to be a fighter. I want to be a firefighter. Lord, put me in a fire. Put us in the most difficult, most dangerous, most harmful situations, because that's where the gospel of Christ works the best. What he says is, I'm looking for somebody that will get interceding. I'm looking for somebody that will get involved. Isaiah 59. It's a long scripture, but let me just read it for you, and I'm closing. So there's no justice among us. We know nothing about right living. We look for light but only find darkness. We look for bright skies but walk in gloom. We grope like blind along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even at brightest noontime, we stumble as though it were dark. Among the living, we're like the dead. We growl like hungry bears. We moan like mournful doves. We look for justice, but it never comes. We look for rescue, but it's far away from us. Our sins piled up before God testify against us. Yes, we know that we are sinners. We know we have rebelled and denied the Lord. We have turned our backs on God. We know how unfair and oppressive we have been, carefully planning our deceitful lives. Our courts oppose the righteous. Come on, somebody. How many know I'm preaching American modernism right here, right here? Our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Fake news. Yes, truth is gone, and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. Come on, somebody. The Lord looked and was so displeased to find that there was no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained him. Jesus left the fire station of heaven and got involved. And what he's looking for now, he's not finding in the American church. God was shocked when he saw that there were problems in the society, but he didn't see Christians. I think modern Christianity has created a shock factor of heaven. God is saying, they have forgotten why I've gotten involved in their lives. Please hear this, ladies and gentlemen. That's not being done at Charleston Church. Okay, let me just stop right there before you think that, oh, I'm going to get a whipping today. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm here to tell you, the reason we're raising money to build a church in Haiti, because we're stepping in the gap. The reason that these people are doing a great job feeding people in 8 different towns around here, we're standing in the gap. The reason we have bus drivers picking up kids all over the area, we're standing in the gap. The reason we're touching schools with supplies, we're standing in the gap. Come on, somebody. I'm glad that Charleston Church is going to shock the devil, not the Lord. God has an eye on the pain of our world, and he'll bless the church that does as well. Ezekiel 22 says these words, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. I'm so glad that Jesus did not stay in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, well, I've prayed for you. I'm so glad Jesus left the garden after he prayed and went to the cross. What's interesting is that God is looking and he sees this gap in the culture, and he's looking and he sees that there are people to stand in the gap, but they're just distracted. And I felt an urgency in my heart to speak to a father, husband, a grandfather. Look, I'm telling you, there are people in this place that are standing in the gap. There are grandparents here. You're standing in the gap to raise your grandchildren. There are people here who are adopting children, standing in the gap. I saw Matt's t-shirt when he was up here, just about the orphans, standing in the gap. And nobody, I wish the news was just running around reporting this stuff. I couldn't give a rip about somebody else who gets arrested for drug possession. How about somebody who's got some good possession? How about we hear a little less about dope dealers and a little bit more about hope dealers? Well, it doesn't sell, that's why. But I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot more good going on than bad. And it's because Jesus Christ is walking through the church. And today, my aim is not those of you who are standing in the gap and doing your part. I'm in no way trying to get your father. You know, I don't know a father that feels like he's completely done the job he could have. Our youngest just graduated from high school. And I feel more humble now. There are so many, I thank God for what we're able to do, but I think there were so many more things I could have done. And so I don't want to play and prey on some kind of feeling of insecurity in you today. But I am here to tell some man who got distracted or who got disappointed and just kind of backed off, and maybe you're ashamed or maybe you feel defeated or whatever happened, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is calling you back into the problem, calling you back into the situation, calling you back into, come on somebody, calling you back into the military, calling you back, pick up your sword, pick up your shield. Yes, it was dropped. Yes, it happened, but you don't have to stay there. People's lives are on the line. You've got to step into the gap. You got to do your part. I'll do my part. You do your part. How about Moses? The Bible says that Israel, come on musicians if you would, I don't want to lie to the dads. The Bible says that Israel had totally backslidden. And God and Moses had a conversation, and God said to Moses, I'm going to kill them. So much for that warm fuzzy God. Well, everybody's going to heaven. You really got to get to know this guy. God says, this is my solution for backslidden Israel. I'm not going to rehab them. I'm not going to analyze them. I'm going to smite them. Look here. My finger is on the smite button. I can just see God just rubbing the top of it just to tease Moses. And the Bible says in Psalms 106, these words. So he declared that he would destroy them, but Moses, his chosen one, stepped between the Lord and the people. Isn't that awesome? He's the in-between guy. The fire. Okay. The fire's out here. It's raging toward the people. And Moses says, I'll intercede. He didn't sing. He didn't pray. I'm all for all that. But he did something about it. He said, I'm stepping in. Imagine this. I think the greatest thing that happened to Moses was he was in a firefight from the beginning. You remember Moses was a shepherd. He was a farmer. God loves farming. And the Bible says that he was just out minding his business, and he looks over and a bush catches on fire. And I love how the Bible says it. The Bible says, and Moses says, lo, behold, the bush burneth. Hey man, imagine if tomorrow morning you woke up, it's been a while, imagine if you woke up tomorrow morning and you stepped out and you're in your pajamas, or I hope, and your bureau goes, and your bureau's on fire. And it starts talking to you. Would you say to your wife, lo, the bureau burneth? I would say, thou freaketh me out. Wow, can you imagine? But when Moses got the fire inside of his own being, Moses walked in front of Pharaoh, the most wicked, the most violent, the most powerful man on the planet. And here comes stuttering Moses. And he walks in, just shepherd stuff all over him. And he walks in and he looks up at Pharaoh, the meanest, most intimidating man on the planet. And Moses says, let my people go. Not exactly real demanding in speech. But I'm going to tell you, the fire that he got from an experience with God created a boldness in him that said, I'm not afraid of anything. I wonder if there's any men here today that says, I want that same fire inside of me. I want to be so fired up, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anything. Come on, I'm not afraid of anything. I wonder how many wives want a husband that's not afraid of anything. I wonder how many boys and girls want a daddy who's not afraid of anything. I wonder how many parents want to raise up boys that aren't afraid of anything. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about courageousness. Because between this world and its hellish ways and our families ought to stand some men that says, I'm not going to change what I believe, how I behave, or my priorities based on Hollywood, based on popular culture or social media. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I wonder if there's any men like that here today. I wonder. I know there is. I wonder if there's any men that says, I'm ready to make a renewed or a fresh commitment. I want to be as bold as a lion. I want every person to stand with me, if you would please. Every person to stand. That's my 20-minute gift to you men. If there is a God in heaven, he just proved himself to you. Every man that physically can, from the balcony to the floor, that says, I want the fire of God inside of me that gives me the ability to stand in places that other people will not stand. I want to stand for right. I want to stand for the vulnerable. I want to stand for those that are hurting. I want to stand for my family. Stand for my church. Stand for the lost. Every person, every man that is, that says, I want that fire in me. Come, stand around this altar real quick. If you would please. Throw me that water. Throw me that water. Come on, quick. Come on, men. There's something powerful when men gather in an altar. There's nothing like it. From the balcony to the main floor. Men, if you physically can. You say, I've never been in church before. Then come. If you're a man, there's a place in this altar for you. There's a place in this altar for men today. Come on, ladies. I'm doing what you've wanted done for a long time. They ought to hear some applause. They ought to hear some gratitude. You can do a whole lot better than that. Come on. They go through hell all week. That's better. That's better. I'm waiting. It's not easy to get out of that balcony, so plenty of time. Thank God. That's some good men right here. All right. You just be still, ladies. Would you begin to pray right now? Just pray for the men. Just begin to pray. I want God to do something really. I want God to put a fire in us today. I want him to put some rebar in our spine, some vision in our eyes, some compassion in our hearts. Come on, ladies, hundreds of you, let them hear you pray. It means more to them than you know. Come on. Come on, pray God will help some men stand in the gap, help some men intercede. Come on, you don't know how much they've been beat down in their head, beat down by society, beat down by the people that they work with. But today, the Holy Ghost is about to build up so much higher than the enemy could ever tear down. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Son, what's your name?
Chris.
Have I ever met you before? I've never seen you. I don't remember seeing you. Do you know him? You don't know him. Good. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Chris, you're a good man. Yeah. Life has a way of just kind of peeling layer by layer. That's what I should just see in my... Just peeling you apart layer by layer. It's not like one thing happened. It's just like layer by layer. It's just been pulling apart. Till you get to the point you say, what good can I do? I mean, I can't play varsity. I can't play JV. I can't do anything in this team. I'm just kind of... I fouled out. I'm going to tell you something. God's the one who decides that. Nobody else does. All right? Nobody has the authority to tell you you can't do something for God. Nobody has the authority to tell you you can't do that for God. If God says you can do it, well, we're just going to go with that. How about that? Is that better?
Yes.
Chris, what I pray for Chris right now. God, he's been beat down. He's a good man that's just been beat down. But God, I thank you today. You're not beating men down today. You're calling men out. Hallelujah. There are people's lives. There's a calling on his life today. And God, if it was for one man, you'd have left the whole army to find one soldier. I think you found him today. Hallelujah. God, he's been wounded in battle, but God, you're putting him back together today. Amen. It's a brand new beginning for Chris. Amen. He can be the man that you put him on the planet to be. And no looking back in his life. No looking back, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In this altar, I wonder who the men are. You know, Jesus had a way of standing up for people. Remember that woman they caught in the act of adultery? They brought her to church to kill her. And Jesus said, over my living body, you will. Over my living body, you will. I'll smite you in church. He's just strong. And men... This church is not fully balanced without you. All right? And ladies, don't be too sensitive. Imagine what mess this place would be without you. Imagine what they'd look like today. I mean, they look fair, but... Dude, spend a look, another 10 minutes on them. They'd look great today. I want to tell you, there are a lot of people in this place that are proud of every one of you. Thankful for you. I wonder if you're in this altar today... And you don't have a moment in your time, in your life, that you remember that you formally, publicly admitted that you're a sinner. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and confessed Him to be your Lord. Repented of your sins. I just sense that in my heart today there'd be some men here today that need to make a commitment to Christ or a recommitment. You say, I've drifted, but it's time for me to get back to the place where God wants me to be. If that's you today, you say, I need to get my life right with Christ. Just raise your hand, even if it's a lady. But in this altar, in this here, in the balcony on the main floor, if there's anybody here. All right. Dave, would you pray with him right behind you? That's Bob. Right here. Thank you, Jim. Chris has given his life to Christ today. Is there anybody else? Bo. A good man. You know, one man can affect a whole lot of people. One man. And God's going to use Chris and God's going to use Bo. These are good men that society's trying to beat up. But how many glad Jesus has not given up on his men today? I want you men to pray this with me. Do it family style, everybody. Let's pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for leaving the fire station of heaven and putting the wildfire of sin in my life out. I want you to remove all of it. Please forgive me for allowing it, for contributing to it. I'm done with it. I won't be burned anymore. Please remove all my sins. I invite you into my life. I'm going to get back in the game, back in the fire. And I'm going to experience victory. In the name of Jesus, I am forgiven. I am saved. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's shout a good amen and thank God for... Come on, man. Praise God. Praise God. Perfect. Perfect. Good. Man, I could stand here all day. Something about the presence of godly men. Man, would you pray right now that God Himself will put the fire inside of you? Not asking you to be something you're not. I'm asking you to be exactly what God called you to be. You're not going to run around the building. You're not going to get flaky. Good. Thank God. This is not a granola church, a bunch of nuts and flakes. This doesn't go over in every altar call, but it is today. Hallelujah. Man, would you begin to pray right out loud? It's something, it encourages your brother when you're praying out loud. Come on, man, let's pray together. Lord, give us the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on, Lord, give us the fire of the Holy Spirit. Give me the boldness, Lord. Come on, begin to pray. Lord, give us the boldness. Make me strong. Strong in my faith. Strong in my mind. Strong in my marriage. Strong in my body. Strong in my vocation. Strong in my purpose. God, help us men to see what you see. You see the brokenness. You see the hurt. You see the pain. You see the dysfunction. God, none of this is blinded from you. But God, help us to see what you see. Help us to see the pain. Help us to see the brokenness. Help us see the opportunity. And let us step in the gap. Lord, let us leave the fire station and get in the fire. Come on, that's powerful, man. That's powerful. The devil's going to run today in the name of Jesus Christ when men agree together in prayer. Lord, fill him back up. Fill his cup. Strength comes. All right, men, real quick. I'm not real touchy-feely, but would you pray for a man? I saw Jared do this. Pray for a man right now. Just, Lord, I pray that you help him. Give him strength. Give him strength. Give him help. This is my brother. I don't know the man, but he's my brother. I don't know this gentleman, but he's my brother. He's important. Come on, man. There's an army here. A mighty army of faith. A mighty army of talent. Mighty army of wisdom. Mighty army of ability. And we're going to get in the problem. We're going to get involved in some stuff. And we're going to make the devil pay. Amen. We're going to get involved in some stuff. And things are going to begin to turn around. Amen. Amen. It's time to get involved in that stuff again. Hallelujah. It's time again. Hallelujah. Oh, there's some great stuff that God wants to make a difference in. And He wants to use you to do it. In the name of Jesus. It's powerful. It's powerful. Come on. Lord, do it today, I pray. Amen. Amen. You're not alone. The strength and the power of God comes to us today.